15 minutes past the hour, you are back on the Mike Allen Show. Pleased to have, for the first time in 2016, my monthly guest, Chelsea Zimmerman. Chelsea, who blogs at reflectionsofaparalytic.com, and she's also the editor-in-chief at Catholic Lane. She does a lot of great work on a whole host of issues, blogging and commenting, but particularly on bioethical issues, and from the sunny Pensacola, Florida area, Chelsea Zimmerman. Good morning, Chelsea.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. This is the first time we've talked on the air since the new year.
Yes, it is. And it's almost a whole month gone now.
I know. You have a good Christmas season and everything?
Oh, yeah. It was very... we didn't do anything big this year, and it was different. It was the first time me and my sisters all had Christmas in different places, my two sisters. So it was a little different.
That's why there was the absence of baby blogging this year.
Yeah. Well, we did the whole family thing. We did what we called Christmas giving, Thanksgiving. So when we went, we all had, everybody was together for Thanksgiving, and we did a little Christmas then, and then everybody was kind of on their own for Christmas after that.
Well, I know with the you were paying attention, of course, last week with the March for Life. Of course, a lot of the horrible weather that came in and mm-hmm. maybe prevented some other groups, but I know you devoted a page on your own blog, Reflections of a Paralytic, on just mm-hmm. how we, in the midst of our whole understanding of, you know, the seamless garment and a total vision of what it means to be pro-life, mm-hmm. we do never need to forget that, as you term it, abortion is a special kind of evil.
Yeah, you know, I felt like I kind of needed to write that because, you know, as I pointed out, I spend most of the time, my time on my blog and, you know, with my podcast and stuff, trying to get pro-lifers to think outside the abortion box and deal with some of these other issues that we're going to be talking about. But, you know, at the same time, abortion is this kind of, like I say, it's a special kind of evil. It's the intentional killing. It's not just the intentional killing of an innocent human life, but it's in a place that should be the safest place in the world. Like the mother's womb, it should be a life-giving vessel, and it's become this hostile environment that we've allowed to be penetrated and injected and just to assault the baby to the point of death instead of nurturing and growing the baby in the womb. So it really is, you know, when you want to weigh things out, you know, it is kind of that gives it that even extra sort of evilness to it. And, you know, and Mother Teresa was right. She said, you know, if we can accept that a mother can kill her own child, you know, how do we tell other people not to kill each other?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when we bless the killing of the obvious child in the womb, which we can see nowadays, you know, we have the technology to see the child in the womb, even from some of the earliest stages, we really have no moral grounds upon which to reject to object to the killing and manipulating of human embryos, which is what I talk about a lot. I mean, it's kind of hard to convince people having a moral standing on that when, you know, we can see the child in the womb and we're still killing the children in the womb and it's legal. So it does kind of have a little bit of more of a weight to it in that sense, I think.
We certainly as Catholics and in our moral understanding and moral theology understand that personal culpability, let's mm-hmm. say, or personal guilt in an act can be sometimes mitigated by, you know, on the abortion issue. You know, there may be women who are in great fear and desperation, mm-hmm. and they're so deceived by the euphemisms that are oftentimes used in the movement that their own personal culpability could be somewhat mitigated. But in terms of the objective act, mm-hmm. should never forget or back off of the truth that the act itself is intrinsically evil. It can never be justified under any circumstances because of what you said. It is the intentional killing of an innocent human life, which is always and everywhere wrong.
Right, exactly.
Now, you talk about an issue, and you brought my attention an issue that a group that you're affiliated with is the, I think, the director of social media, the Missouri Right to Life. Mm-hmm. You having formerly lived in Missouri, a case that they've got involved with there in Missouri that has to do with this this challenge of this fertility treatment IVF generation of frozen embryos. Tell us a little bit about this case.
Yeah, I was really actually excited to see them get involved because this is, you know, your traditional pro-life organizations don't necessarily get involved in these kind of reproductive technology issues. Unless it involves abortion, like in some cases where the surrogate's forced to abort or there's selective reduction or something, you know, they don't, legally, they don't get involved in a lot of these things. But this is a case, and just a quick background in it. In 2007, this couple, this married couple, they created four embryos through IVF. Two were implanted and resulted in the birth of twin boys, and the other two were frozen for later use. But the couple has since divorced, and, you know, they signed an agreement that gave custody of the embryos to the mother in the case of divorce. But the trial court that they brought it to invalidated that agreement. So we're seeing this, and we've seen this before, these embryo custody battles. There was the major one in Hollywood, was it last year or 2 years ago, with Sofia Vergara, the TV actress, and her ex-boyfriend going to court. And who gets custody? What happens to the embryos that we created when we thought we wanted to have children together and now we don't? So that's kind of, that's the case we're seeing here. And the trial court that it was brought to, they cited that, and this is a new one for me, especially in terms of this kind of argument. They cited the ex-husband's, quote, right not to be forced to procreate because she wants to implant the embryos and bring them to term herself, and he wants no part of it. And so the question is, well, if she does that, what legal rights does he have? And so the court decided that unless they can both agree on what to do with the embryos, nothing can get done with them. And so she doesn't have custody, he can't destroy them, they can't agree. And that's where it kind of ended up in trial court. And they also ruled that the embryonic children were material property. But they said of a, quote, unique type, because what one party does with them in the future may impose unwanted obligations on the other party. In other words, if she gives birth to these children, he might have obligations. So it's they're unique property, but they're not human life, according to the court. And so that's where the trial kind of ended. That's the short background on it.
Well, and certainly it's been noted, you know, that, and I saw this when I was in Missouri a few years ago in St. Louis, saw the place for the famous, infamous Dred Scott case. So yes, the irony is not lost on some that the identifying of these embryos as property happens in the same state where the Dred Scott.
Exactly. And that's part of the brief too. But see, this is when the mother, she turned to Missouri Right to Life for help on the, she's obviously appealing the decision. So she's turned to Missouri Right to Life to help with the appeal. And then they enlisted the help of Lawyers for Life and the American Association of Pro-Life Obstetricians. And so they've filed a brief to the court and arguing three main things. Number one, they set forth the scientific basis for recognizing the human status of the embryos. Number two, it describes the Missouri statute that the lower court, the court kind of ignored regarding this issue. And then it asked the court to award custody of these human beings according to their best interest. Their best interest in this case, obviously, being given a chance to live. So So she turned to Missouri Right to Life, and they kind of got involved. And it's, I'm glad they did, because this is something I feel like, even those pro-lifers, because I know the pro-life community is not necessarily all on board with being against IVF in general. But this is some an area where I always thought that we could find some common ground on when you're talking about, I mean, just the way it dehumanizes the human embryo by referring to them as property. That's why I was glad to see these pro-life organizations get involved in that, because that's a huge deal. And especially in Missouri, when I mentioned the Missouri law, since 1988, Missouri law has acknowledged that a human embryo is a person with protectable rights in life, health, and well-being from the moment of conception. So Missouri has a statute that recognizes the life of the unborn child from the moment of conception.
Wow. We're running out of time for this segment, okay. Chelsea, so don't panic. That's what the music is there. We have these hard breaks. I do think, you know, that it's this is one of those examples of one of the issues with IVF in the beginning. It's not that people don't have this noble intent to have a child, and certainly the church stands with those who struggle with infertility, but it tends to commodify human life is one of the things, just as you've talked about, and view it as property and that which can be frozen and all those things. So we'll get back into this when we come back for the break, Chelsea. Mm-hmm. So hold tight, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We'll be back in just a minute here on the Mike Allen Show. If you got a question, 573-4BREAD-4. Let's get me outside the break.